This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's hour two of the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're only going until 5 o'clock tonight because the Rangers are in Boston, where their storm is expected to recede here by the time we get to a first pitch shortly thereafter, a 5:40 or so. Man, we had quite a storm earlier today in DFW, but looks like quite a bit of it is drying out. And we're all excited very much for Game 1, Stars and Jets tomorrow, the latest news coming in. And then we want to talk about the Rangers' plan here to hopefully revive their offense, what led to that decision, and how much we believe that this could be the answer. Latest news, Daily Mail, which is a UK news aggregating site. They're calling out ESPN for constantly showing our Instagram influencer behind Coach DeBoer. Everybody's seen this gal by now.
Oh, yeah.
Natalie Gauvreau, maybe. G-A-U-V-R-E-A-U, a French name. So I'm in the ballpark. I'm confident I'm in the ballpark with Natalie's last name. But y'all know her and love her based on, Her beautiful presentation.
Stanley Cups.
Yeah, the Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
That's right. In all their glory. And, she's a bit of a good luck charm, but the headline, ESPN can't stop zooming in on stunning NHL fan sat behind team bench. And I noticed the same thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Their production team knows where the ratings value is.
Yeah.
And to her credit, she finds usually a great position to where you're kind of seeing a little bit of everything all at once.
Yeah.
Like I have to show the coach here.
Yeah.
It's not my fault she's in the background.
There he is again. Look at this guy. Mr. Undefeated in game sevens.
Let's just keep throwing it to the coach. Throw it to the coach. Make up crap about him in his bio just so we can throw it back to him.
What's Pete going to do here with the fourth line, Jim? I don't know. Let's zoom in on him.
I wouldn't be surprised if Pete calls a timeout here. He's only got one. But
speaking of hockey, our hockey hawk Gavin Spittle currently in the adjacent production studio recording the latest episode of the podcast. So you're going to want to jump on in there to the number one Stars podcast in the land, Brian.
I think she's the guest on today's pod.
Wow. Yeah, he gets the biggest guest, so I guess that would be apropos.
The biggest guest.
But yeah, that's something to be on the lookout for. Win-loss with her in attendance and with her out of attendance is something to, keep track of. I think it's pretty important. But we go to The Athletic here, the New York Times. They have a Stars-Jets preview for us to look at. Their computer simulations give the Stars a slight edge, 51-49. That's a little closer than I thought it would be after learning that 14 of the 16 ESPN analysts picked the Stars to win this series. I think they're carrying some pretty good momentum. I thought Winnipeg might have been exposed there. As a great regular season team, but then they do the ratings and the net ratings. They say on paper this is actually the closest round two matchup with just a +2 net rating separating these teams. It is the Stars with a slight advantage on paper here.
Why did I feel like that in round one that the Colorado-Dallas series was very similar to this when it came to two teams?
the Avs were slightly ahead because of probably the injuries.
But you had the better goaltending. So
the Jets established themselves as a defensive powerhouse this season, giving Hellebuyck more support than he'd had in years. At 5-on-5, giving up 2.3 goals against, with Hellebuyck between the pipes, the team allowed a league low 1.7 per 60 in 5-on-5 situations. It ballooned to 3.85 was his goals against average.
Yeah.
In round one there against the Blues. So this is quite doable, all right? So there's just a little bit of a flavor there for, you know, for what we are anticipating going into tomorrow night's game one of the second round series.
We might get Jason Robertson in game one.
Are you serious?
I mean, DeBoer saying he's close. We'll see tomorrow morning on whether or not he can play. He was running with the third line in practice.
So he's about to pass Miro and get onto the ice before Miro. Was there any Miro from
Beattie? Let me look at what they're saying about
Miro. Yeah, I think he was paired with Dumba. Yeah, that I think they were just kind of working him in, and he's been a healthy scratch here throughout the playoffs. So I don't think that it was – maybe they're just trying to work him in. But it didn't seem like he was working with any of the top pairings.
Robo?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Miro.
Yeah, he was running with Dumba.
Yeah, he's working with Dumba. But I think he was working – I think Jason was working with a third line is what they were doing. I think you said that. I'm sorry. Were you?
Well, we were going back and forth.
Okay,
between the two.
I was. It was funny because I was looking up some goalie stats, and you know, in the playoffs. So I remember it was something I did yesterday. I was just curious, but this Hellebuyck, he's given up the most goals of any netminder in the playoffs so far.
Yeah,
he's given up 26 goals.
He was brutal in that series.
Yeah. He's been hella butt. You know, and that's how he got that nickname. And I expect, you know, us to serenade him with that when they arrive for game three and game four. Evan Grant writing today in his opening line about this hire of Brett Boone, the way Chris Young explained it Monday, the best coaches are psychologists. Says the Rangers want their players more free in the batter's box, more confident, more focused on quality at bats and team focused at bats. CY saying in the piece, I think just not losing sight of the competitive elements of the game, the mano-a-mano aspect of the pitcher-batter relationship, and standing in that box with confidence that you're going to get the job done and that pitcher's going to feel you. And certainly Brett embodied that as a player. So they're looking for some attitude here coming in from Brett Boone. He wants the team to be less analytical and more aggressive, basically playing baseball with your cojones instead of being between the ears too much. You know, I think not knowing the data, there's danger in that, but burying your head in the numbers, there's absolutely, you know, trouble there. This is how Grant wrote about it. He said, as in the case with most coaching changes, the pendulum swings in one way or another. For coaches, it swings between tactician and communicator. Ecker was a strong believer in biomechanical fixes and planned detailed game plans that focused on countering the opposing pitcher's strengths. It's a good strategy, but it can make you think too much.
Yeah, nothing against the analytical approach, but sometimes you just need to go in there and, like, see ball, hit ball. You know? I think maybe that Chris Young and maybe even, you know, some of the others on the staff were probably thinking, like, man, we are way overthinking this. And the more we're overthinking it, the deeper we're getting in a hole.
Yeah.
Where we just need to go. And Eric, you were talking about, maybe you was Gavin yesterday, talking about the Mariners and their new approach is, you know, just, hey, just get the bat out there and, you know, and let that, you know, be the way you get base hits and stuff like that without, but they probably got tired of those 9:30 in the morning meetings where they sat there for an hour and talked about, you know, all the mechanical stuff that they need to do.
Yeah, and be ready for this pitch and that pitch instead of, hey, you know, get up there and get ready to rock and find something you like and drive it, you know. And you definitely don't want to have an ignorant hitting instructors who are like, yeah, just get up there and be a strong son of a gun and protect the inside plate and turn on that thing. You know, you want to be smart about your approach, but when it gets in the way of being confident and being an athlete, then you're thinking too much.
Speaking of hockey, though, too, this kind of thing, you know, we've seen, like, in hockey, they make these changes, like, mid-season.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the team just, like, Edmonton Oilers last year, just, you know, change early in the season. You know, they were going nowhere. And then the next thing you know, they end up in the Stanley Cup final. You just, sometimes, just a different voice, a different approach.
Leadership, like, can be powerful.
Yeah, just all of a sudden, it's a different just a different plan of attack. And you know, I think that's what Chris, the fact that this is not, we gave him a 3-year deal and all that, they're really just kind of, they're kicking the tires here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're kicking the tires that his baseball history, you know, as a lifer with his family as lifers, that his approach is going to go into like, what are you seeing up there? You know, and instead of like, well, hey, look at the charts here. Let's look at the at bat. Let's
now
break
be
down
careful.
The,
He's got yeah. a nasty oh, slider.
Yeah, look out. Look out. Your toes.
He's going to set you up for this, yeah. and then you want to go to that.
Yeah.
Evan Grant wrote about Edgar Martinez as well, which you mentioned. It's one of the success stories of the year with how you could, you know, change your fortunes with a different hitting coach. But he says they would have tried it with Michael Young, but Michael Young is so entrenched with being a family man right now in his post-playing career, he's not ready to come be that guy. Mm. But apparently, when he ran into Brett Boone, he was like, man, I think the Rangers need a guy like you. So he helped,
maybe,
you know, thread
similar,
that needle. And
maybe the two similar guys.
Hey,
listen, not me, but I got a guy for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Los Angeles and I'll bring you back a guy. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what else? Is there anything in this story? Oh, yeah, his brother Aaron, you know, going from TV to ESPN 8 years ago with the Yankees. I think that's that success story there you're talking about there. And speaking of the Yankees, guys, they have a reliever crisis. They brought in Devin Williams to be a late-inning dude. His ERA ballooning to over 10 yesterday, Brian, had another meltdown. Mm.
Couldn't happen to a better team.
He, I think he got the first two guys out and then like put maybe bases loaded, had to leave. And he was elite in 6 seasons with the Brewers, but the pressure in New York is different.
A lot different,
you know, and, you know, some guys really struggle and then they get it figured out. But for some guys, it can spiral and get worse. So, you know, the Yanks are now 19-16 and watching the bullpen just start fires for them late in games.
Devin Williams has allowed 13 runs this season. It's the same amount of runs he allowed in 2023 and 2024 combined.
Wow. Yeah. You hate to see, you're right. You hate to see it. After spending better part of my life watching them just try to dominate the league with spending. Anytime something like this happens that doesn't go their way, I find it hilarious.
Oh, darn.
Big 12's board of directors has agreed to a 3-year contract extension with Commissioner Brett Yormark.
Yeah.
It's going to run through 2030. Big 12 presidents are rewarding him for stabilizing and modernizing the Big 12 in the wake of the Oklahoma and Texas departures there in 2021. You feeling pretty good about the Big 12 these days, Brian?
Yeah, you know, it was like the film that we got to watch this year. It was some interesting matchups when you get to see, it was kind of funny with Arizona State and Arizona and those Pac-12 teams being involved. But, hey, good for them, BYU. I mean, there was some really quality film with the way that the Big 12 schedule played out to the very end. You know, Colorado had a chance and some upsets along the way. Kansas was able to kind of do some things to knock some people out. So it was a good season overall that way.
It really was. And, you know, I think it's pretty cool. You know, after you lose massive national brands like that, you kind of have to wonder what this thing could be. But still
Colorado
lot of passionate fans.
Colorado helped because of the notoriety of the head coach and the team, you know, with Shador and then with Hunter and all, but so that, you know, the eyes were on Colorado, which made up for a lot of things there.
Clemson and Notre Dame. Are you interested in this? They're announcing a 12-year scheduling agreement that will pit. You know, I have a lot of respect for Notre Dame, but without seeing them get to the top really since the late 80s, early 90s, I know they've been close.
No, they last year their national championship game though.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just saying that in a way. I think your assessment is correct. Last year, though, they lose a terrible game to Northern Illinois and then go on an incredible run.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they really did it. They played good defense. The quarterback was kind of Tim Tebow-like, not really throwing the
ball
great.
Maybe this name, image, likeness thing breathes new life into Notre Dame.
They're trying.
And leverages that brand
to
bring
in
money and get players. But, like, right now, I don't feel like, oh, I got to watch Clemson-Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I'm watching a pretty good football team. I don't care unless you're a Clemson or Notre Dame fan.
There was a time this here recently where both Clemson and Notre Dame were playing against each other because the ACC stuff that they do. And, like, they were, like Saturday night NBC games, you know, and both teams were coming in the game with like 8-0 records and stuff. So yeah, I could understand what Notre Dame, they're trying their best to to make sure that their schedule fills out. But, man, sometimes now it's not about the wins and the losses. I mean, we've kind of seen that. It's about the wins and the losses for this playoff, but the quality of the win. You know, that's kind of, you got to kind of protect yourself now.
And the ACC needs all the TV ratings they can get. They need big marquee matchups like this. Clemson needs Notre Dame.
Yeah. It's so crazy to watch tape and watch. And I think it's cool that Michigan plays USC and UCLA.
Yeah.
And Penn State goes all the way across the country to play. But man, like the ACC, you're right. It's hard to watch like Stanford come. One of the best games I saw this year was Cal play Miami. That was one of the better ACC games that I saw this year, and watching on tape was even better. Yeah.
All right, Barcelona has tallied. They trail Inter in this second leg 2-1.
They got to win outright, don't they?
No, they need a goal by the end of regulation to force extra time. They did away with that tiebreaker with road goals.
Oh, okay, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're watching this Champions League action, and we'll keep you updated throughout the afternoon and into the evening.
It's weird with Barca. They're wearing almost like Dayglow uniforms. What are we doing here? I mean,
Sam Presti wins Executive of the Year in the NBA. The Thunder, so good in the regular season. 68 wins, down 1-0 to Denver. Do you think they're in trouble, Chief? Think the Nuggets could get this?
I mean, I'm surprised that they won that game. I have more confidence in the Nuggets being able to beat the Thunder than I do, say, the Knicks beating the Celtics. I mean, this playoff has been incredible. You can't put anything past. This is a tried and true champion right here that you're dealing with in the Nuggets. Nothing's going to be too big for them. And Jokic, I mean, he was otherworldly. He has to be that almost a 40-point triple-double every night.
Yeah.
And that ultimately, I think, is the biggest problem for them. But this thing going 6 or 7 games, I think, is absolutely on the table.
Yeah, he probably feels like, I need to go at least 35-15 for us to win. Can I dominate them in the paint so much that our disadvantage at pretty much every other position can be diminished or mitigated? It's pretty dang interesting to watch this playoffs run. Brian, what you got? No, they score again?
No, I was going to say, it was a 3-on-2 and an incredible save by the goalie here for Inter, yeah. I tried to get the equalizer there.
Shedeur Sanders to wear number 12 like his mentor, Tom Brady? I don't know about you guys, yeah. But
like Tom left him out to dry.
If any team passed on me at least 4 times, like the Raiders did, screw you. Screw you.
Yeah.
I don't have any mentors anymore that were on any of these teams. Yeah. You guys with me on that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think if I'm still wanting to wear my number 12, it's because it's my number. It has nothing to do with Tom Brady.
There you go.
It could be the reverse of his dad's number, though, too.
There you go.
Think about that.
Yeah. Let's reframe this narrative.
Yeah, reframe it.
I would reframe it. I would say I'm wearing dad's number just in reverse.
Yeah. 21 seemed like a weird quarterback number, so I'm going with 12.
Yeah.
Okay, it is the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get you more football news. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. The Cowboys news of the evening is next.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
The Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers baseball is coming up here at 5 o'clock. They're in Boston to take on the Red Sox. Salute to our Rangers player guest, Patrick Corbin, joined us. Brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Got a hockey update here for you guys. Pete DeBoer has apparently told Connor Blackwell he could be out for this series. And that is being interpreted as a sign of what you guys just mentioned that last segment. Jason Robertson, who is skating with the third team today, is a very possible go for tomorrow. This is potentially heroic stuff. This is, miracle, maybe hockey toughness coming into play, Brian.
Yeah, hockey toughness always is prevalent this time of year. And talking to Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk, just got done with his Spits and Suds podcast. I'm sure he would tell you about the, with these type of changes, though, with, the power play and stuff like that.
Oh, the penalty kill, losing Blackwell. Kill.
Yeah, losing Blackwell on the kills. He's been outstanding. And so, I'm sure that he would be telling you that right now.
You're getting a lot of offense. You got to feel confident we can find a replacement for Blackwell.
Those goals.
Yeah.
Opportunity when, the quick hands around, when things get a little tight and they get a little tough. And the Stars have shown that they could play behind the line. They could play behind the opponent's net and be effective. And that's where Jason Robertson really comes in, where he's able to kind of, they got the size to get a little position, stick down, quick hands, puck on tape, boom, right in the net. That's what they've kind of, when you don't get a lot of shots like they did in that Colorado series, you got to have those sneaky goals that you can get, and that's what Robinson's able to do.
It puts Dodonov on the fourth line, which is fun. Dodonov is my favorite non-star Dallas star. Maybe you have a favorite non-star Dallas star of yours out there at 877-881-1053. But we're going to get the C note here in just a sec. Cowboys news of the evening every day at 325 here on your home of the Cowboys. Josh Morrissey, the Jets defenseman who left game 7, he's going to be a game time decision tomorrow. So that's pretty big. Okay, Chad Reuter, NFL.com, did 16 day 3 picks that could compete for starter snaps as rookies. 11 of 157 day 3 picks started 8 or more games last year, up 1 from the 2023 draft class, but down from 16 in 2022. So not a lot of these guys have a rookie impact, but Chad Reuter, he's picking Jaden Blue as one of them.
Yeah,
Brian, I bet you probably agree with that.
I absolutely. We'll see. Like the whole question, and we'll talk about it a bunch until we see. Can he make sure that he has secure the ball? That's the big thing, the fumbles. And once that, if teams know that he has a problem with that, they're going to try and tackle that ball. But the more that he's able to kind of hold on to things, and you'll get teams not to go after as much. But, man, he has got a chance to be a big-time player for you.
If he's not the guy, I think your scheme better be amazing because I think you could be in real trouble. I don't see either of the other players they have, Lipke, Vaughn, Williams, Sanders, none of them can be guys that you can build a rushing attack around. If it's not Blue, you're done for or need to make a trade.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess you could cross your fingers that the Clemson guy, Omafa, can give you a little something. But of the veterans that you have in there, and Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders, There's no confidence whatsoever. Jaden Blue's got to be an impact player for you, and he has that ability. I think the instant impact is obvious there, yeah. But I'm looking to give Javonte Williams as little a touches as possible.
Yeah, me too. You know, I think throw it to him,
let him block, kind of stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm with you on that.
Interesting. Does Mafah compare? Remember Jalen Smith's brother? What was his name? Rod Smith?
Rod Smith.
Running back, he was big.
Big, kind of. Yeah.
Just couldn't make anybody miss.
No, very similar, kind of what they call a track runner. Okay. You get on the track and just kind of go.
Yeah.
Yeah, very similar to that type. I mean, he can be very, very physical with the ball in hand. That's his bread and butter right there. Handing the ball, let him hit the hole, and then try and let people, like, he'll bounce off some people, but he's not going to create a whole heck of a lot for you.
Okay, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, also writing about running back today as we're going through here the C-note, the latest headlines here on America's Team. The focus is, okay, here's the takeaway. How interesting is this? Both Williams and Sanders have had seasons where they caught 50-plus passes in a season. Obviously, Jaden Blue is a guy that made plays in the passing game, the two touchdowns against Ohio State in the playoffs and all that. Most everybody saw that. But, you know, the big takeaway is, are the Cowboys, like, getting ready to deploy an army of running backs that are constantly going to be making the defense wonder, are they running it or catching it? We got guys coming out of the backfield. That's the kind of creativity, I think, that asks questions of the defense that could give you an edge. And if you have multiple of them, you're not going to worry about them getting tired, you know? So I think that would be that to me makes me wonder as Nick's writing about that, like, do they have in mind that we're going to have this super versatile running back room so we can constantly give you that look of, are we running or are we passing? And, you know, hopefully start to get some more favorable looks for Dak and man downfield.
Yeah, the problem is if you just have no productive running backs, then they don't care at all about you. They won't respect your run game in any way. You know, like, those guys still have to be productive. I understand the glass half full way of looking at it there. For Nick, you're trying to keep teams off balance for sure. But if nobody really is a threat when you do hand him the ball, then what the heck does it matter? It's going to be same old, Dak, can you beat us?
Yeah, and then that's when, you know, I think scheme and offensive line could make the opportunity so great. You know, but you're one player away at least at left tackle from having that kind of an offensive line. And we can keep our fingers crossed the scheme is there. But I like, you know, that sort of, you know, mindset. And maybe the players aren't there, but the window into what the coaching staff is thinking. I like the process. I like the setup. Maybe it's not the right players. We go to Richard Paolinelli inside the Star headline. Is 2025 Mozzie Smith's last chance? Is he that bad, Brian?
Oh, I think that we've talked about how he's improved in division games. The Giants games, Commanders, Eagles, played much better. Was more of a consistent player. But, yeah, I think so. That if, you know, if Mozzie Smith goes out and you don't see growth, you don't see, you know, more consistency, more consistent play, yeah, we're going to be talking about, you know, one technique guys. Maybe JT, you know, will come in and help. But I think that this is really kind of the balls in Mozzie's court right now. He's got to come out and be able to play much better than what he showed at times, you know, last year.
This Tiger Besh, Jack Besh story is just so sad, isn't it? I think this is probably the third or fourth time I've seen it up there on the TV. Just unbelievable, you know, how those things come together like that. Connor Live Say, headline, blogging the boys, the Cowboys still need to decide on a starting nickel corner. Your options to work with, you brought in Kyir Elam, you had Kalen Carson, you had Josh Butler, Mukuwamu, and then some long shots there. If the third rounder Revell is healthy, how is this cornerback configuration going to come together?
He's a boundary guy, isn't
he? I don't think you're
Revell.
I don't think you're going to play him inside. So,
but does that free up Bland to go inside at that point?
Yeah, you could play Bland on the inside, but you can maybe think about playing Carson too. Would be another way that you might navigate that. Carson, listen, if Carson can show up at the OTAs, the mini camps, and go out there and look like, okay, he can handle this, because he is capable. He is capable of being a good corner for you. You know, he just got caught in a situation where he got hurt in training camp. He missed a lot of time, and then they threw him into the action, and he wasn't ready to play. His confidence wasn't any good. So he needs to come back in a different mindset for this football team. And if he does, that will surely help them with their situation of of how they're going to line up and try and defend like 11 personnel stuff.
Do you think they're reckless with what they have healthy to start a season? Or will this be sufficient? Kind of looks like they're hoping the line of scrimmage is great and their linebackers are pretty good.
I think they're hoping their front seven are pretty good, yeah.
Because Revell likely week one, he'll either be hurt or will be a rookie.
Yeah, right now the bet, I believe he'll be ready to go. That's just kind of what I think right now. But you know, like for Diggs, no, I don't think Diggs will be ready to go. But I think Revell will be ready. And if that's the case, yeah, you're putting a rookie out there, but man, that kid sure is talented.
CBS Sports wrote, one reason for optimism for all 32 teams after the draft and free agency. Hmm. What'd they do for the Cowboys?
That they addressed the right guard spot.
No, I might go for that. They said Dak Prescott returning to health.
Okay.
Dallas can look forward to getting their starting quarterback on the field and healthy. Last season, Dak was limited to just 8 games due to a hammy. Landed him on the injured reserve, but he's expected to be healthy. While the veteran's 2-5 playoff record casts doubt on his ability to push the Cowboys through the postseason, yeah. Prescott is 76-46 throughout the regular season, which sets up Dallas for a rebound after a 7-10 season in 2024. I hope he's healthy, and I don't hold the playoff record that much against him. I think lesser quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl, but I just don't know if he's going to be healthy right now. I think that's questionable journalism.
Yeah. There's no way to know for sure exactly what you're going to get from a health standpoint with him and how mobile is he going to be. I mean, that's one of the biggest remaining questions as we go into the season. Obviously, we'll get a taste in Oxnard for how he's moving around and whatnot, but you won't know until you get into the season. And I think it'll be a hold-your-breath type season. Every time he takes off or every time he gets hit, you're going to be like, is he going to get back up here?
Yeah, it's going to take a while to rebuild that confidence, and I don't know how bold he's going to be. You know, Dak Prescott, I mean, has been a really productive quarterback, but he's really been at his best when he could run a little bit. And now we're at a point in his career where we might actually be talking about, no, don't run at all. Don't get chased down. You know, you're going to have to be throwing it away because we have to now avoid injury. And I think it was at that point with Tony Romo where they were like, okay, we need a succession plan here. We can't continue much longer like this. And you know what, Dak has had the leg and then the shoulder and the calf again. And now to add this hamstring to it, I think an injury of substance this year makes the Cowboys pretty inclined to move on by the time we get to next spring. I think the end could come pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking him?
Yeah, yesterday I went through some of the undrafted free agents. I've got 3 more that we could talk about today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Barcelona coming back from two goals down. It's tied at two, 84th minute Champions League semifinal second leg. They'll go to extra time if they remain tied. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate that. And Tolo stopped by, Chris.
Salute.
Stopped by and said hello.
That was awesome. What a mustache that
what
guy
a mustache.
Had.
Eric, you remember, were you with me at spring training when like Raleigh Fingers was there?
I remember Mr. Fingers.
The handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure because I thought maybe you were taking like the Italian beef sandwich and you'd wolfing three bites and maybe I'm like, hey man, that's Raleigh Fingers. I think you and Wooly.
I think I had just wolfed one down.
Like you and Wooly looked at me like, who the hell's that? You know, that's a guy from like my childhood from the 70s. Great mustache.
It's like a shopkeeper from the Old West.
Yeah, handlebar mustache.
Famously, his name is a sentence. One of the few athletes of all time.
Hey, Dawson, you just derailed my thought here.
My bad.
But in a good way.
Damn it, Dawson.
If you were talking about a shopkeeper.
Yeah.
If you were in the Old West.
Yeah.
What would you be? Like, you know, would you be.
Bartender.
Yeah, I'd probably be dead by the time I was 30.
But what occupation would you have in the Old West?
That's a good question. I suppose maybe telegraph operator, journalist, something like this. Could see myself doing something like that.
You could be one of the miners.
I would like to be a prospector, you know, maybe not the actual miner guy. Yeah. I don't think my claustrophobia would work well in that environment.
So you're like a mean ranch hand, like Gavin Dawson.
I'd like to, you
like
know,
the,
maybe
the prospecting for gold, that kind of like being in the river kind of thing, or?
Well, I mean, I guess I would look at it like I got to figure out a way to buy a claim and then hire a crew to work it.
Right.
You know, that would be ideally the goal, but you know, I don't know if I'm going to have the capital, you know, might have to rob a bank first or a stagecoach. Something like that. Come up on those dollars to buy the
Lucius
spot.
Maybe a blacksmith.
Lucius, yeah. If you're in the Old West, what's your occupation?
What years are those?
Like in the like in the 1800s.
Shoot, man. I have an idea what I want to be.
Yeah, are you running the
1895?
Yeah, give me the idea. Ain't the time frame, baby.
Paint that picture for us.
I can have some aspirations.
Yeah.
I would want to be in like entertainment.
Okay.
Yeah, I would want to be in entertainment.
So you play the piano?
Traveling around from town to town.
Okay.
That type of thing.
All right. Oh, entertainment. All
right. Yeah, a little entertainment.
You're the entertainment. I get it.
You're on a stage show.
All right.
The St. Crispin's Day speech
there we
from
go.
Henry V.
Line up, that's people. Right. Here we are.
How about you there, Chieftain?
I mean, with my experience with the home births, I think I could be a midwife.
There you go.
I got under center.
Find your niche.
I made it happen.
You could like you're delivering babies then, huh?
I mean, I've done it a couple of times now, man. Can raise my hand up on that.
Okay.
It was actually we were rehearsing the or rehashing the birth stories with our kids just this morning. They all wanted to hear their story.
What's the midwife do?
She's basically just the nurse. She's the one that should be there delivering the baby. But for my second baby, it was like a middle of the night surprise. So she was like walking in the door as things were really happening.
So you delivered your second child.
Like a cheerleader for your lady.
Yeah.
Holding hands and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nah, I don't think you could, bro.
Yeah.
You'll get shot.
No, in all honesty, it's a nightmare position.
I see how you were looking at the mid-husband.
My wife did tell me the first one.
Go get Doc Chief.
I guess I was overdoing it with the encouragement and stuff, you know. I was thinking of it like a gym partner, you know, like I'm just in here trying to encourage you,
good.
Motivating you to get through your sets.
Push through it. After the pain, there's the game.
Keep fighting, absolutely. Yeah. And at one point, she screamed, shut up at me. That was the first one. Then we got it together moving forward after that. But, I mean, that's the experience that I have. Maybe I'll just be like a store clerk or something.
I think that's what I would be. I think I'd be the store clerk.
With the apron.
With the apron and like the bow tie.
You'd just be keeping the place pristine,
that'd be,
clean.
That'd be 50 cents for the flour. I mean,
always
I'd be
drying out the little cups.
Yeah. The bartender, I don't think I would be a very good bartender.
Dangerous job, I think.
Very dangerous job. Yeah. I think, because you're really not making drinks, right?
I said, give me the bottle.
You're just putting bottles of whiskey up on and kind of
You need to get you some ice on deck, because that's all the shootings and everything are happening in the Wild West. They're drinking that hot-ass whiskey and getting arguments.
My man. Dress and chill them things.
Drinking warm whiskey after riding around all day.
I'm going to fight you, too.
But I think I'd be the shopkeeper guy. I think you'd come in. I'd be the supply guy. Like, hey, what supplies you need? That's my job. All right. I'm surprised nobody said, like gunfighter.
I don't have that particular confidence in myself.
Dawson's right. I think I'd get
quick in the dead.
The quick in the dead.
I know I'm accurate, but you know, I just got chance.
They own the bathhouse out there. There's bathhouses where you actually take a real bath.
A real bath.
Where you have to go take a real bath. You rent the tubs and whatnot.
Yeah.
You had the brothel.
So that's like the barber, right? Could you be the barber?
You had the barber, brothel.
Brothel. Okay. But that was run by ladies,
usually, right?
Usually
the ladies.
The ladies ran that thing upstairs.
The madam?
Madam, yeah. You used to have the
boss. Well, you boys look like you've had a long ride.
Yeah. Come on in. Yeah.
Quite a business. All right. Talk to you about some undrafted free agents for your Dallas Cowboys. Joshua Kelly, wide receiver from Texas Tech. Going to get into him a little bit here.
Bringing the Raider Rash to Frisco.
This guy right here, he was a three-star recruit and out of California, and he started his career at Fresno State.
Knows how to party.
Yeah, and so it's funny, he went from Fresno to Washington State and then to Texas Tech. So his best numbers that he's had for his career have been at Texas Tech. They did a nice job of using this guy. He's a big-time slot player. He's not the most explosive or detailed route runner when you watch him play, but he does have some quickness, just some initial quickness out of his breaks. And so when you watch him at the top of his route, he's able to kind of get out of it quick and get a little separation. I think his footwork and all was really, really good. At 6'1", 186, he's kind of a thin guy, but his hands, super, super competent. You know, yesterday, we were talking about holding our Oregon receiver, and I felt like that he was kind of some double catching of the ball. This guy, Joshua Kelly, he can catch the football. This guy's got really confident hands, and he's really good when working with people around him, the contested catches. So he's got the hands. He's got the short area quickness. There is some suddenness to his game that way. I think the contact balance is something these coaches look for in their receivers. This guy's got it, but he can run routes when it comes to the curls, the hitches, the comebacks. You see a lot of different routes for this guy, and he makes plays in all of them. I like the way the tempo, the pace, everything he does is really good when it comes to selling the route and getting in and out of his breaks, and there's some smoothness to him the way he's there. So the hands, those are top shelf, like I said, and he really, really attacks the ball, and he's a willing blocker. He's just not an explosive receiver when it comes to speed. So it's kind of a mixed bag with him, but man, this guy makes a lot of plays with his hands. So
you got a little bit of a twinkle in your eye when you talk about this guy.
Joshua Kelly, I like Joshua Kelly a little bit. He wasn't one of these guys that I initially was one of the 235. He wasn't, and I feel bad for missing him. He didn't get selected, but you very well could put this guy in the fifth round, maybe the late fifth, sixth round type of player. There's plenty of receivers that he's better than that were on the board. You know, this kid probably should have been drafted the way he catches the football.
Good, we need him.
All right. Justin Barron is a linebacker from Syracuse. Now, the thing about Justin Barron is interesting is he's 6'4", he's 225. So he's played receiver, he's played defensive back, and they've moved him to linebacker. But at 6'4", 225, he was playing kind of like the big nickel, you know, with Dan Quinn. Remember what we did with Bell and those kinds of guys? But this guy, he could play, he plays the linebacker spot. He's really a sideline-to-sideline player. He's got really good length. The fluidity is good. He could slip past blockers more than take them on. He is a size, you know, a little bit of undersized, but the speed is really, really good, and he's super competitive, and he's super tough. He's got the right kind of mindset to play linebacker. He's got pursuit angles are really good. There's acceleration for the position as, you know, playing at that linebacker spot. I think he's a much better zone cover player than he is, say, a man player, but you do see him work against some tight ends when they go up the seam and he's able to stay with them. He's this hybrid linebacker, but and he's played a ton of special teams.
I was about to say, this sounds like an all three phases.
Yeah, this is a backup linebacker that's got position understanding of playing it in the secondary, playing at linebacker, but his special teams work is what's going to get him on this field. So the awareness, I think, is good. With the lineup at the different spots, I think that's as good too. But you know, his lack of bulk and size really just isn't ideal. But he's probably going to make the team because of special teams and his ability to show the toughness that way. Okay, Zion Childress is my last guy. Zion Childress, excuse me.
Oh, somebody just texted about him.
Yeah, he's a safety from Kentucky is where he's at. And he was a three-star recruit. He started his career, I'm sure they're asking about, because he started his career at Texas State. And he was kind of a nickel for down there for Texas State. And then he just said, well, I need to try and go to another, get myself a little bit higher up the food chain here. And he chose Kentucky as his team. But he was a two-time captain, which it makes a lot of sense for the Cowboys. They're looking for those guys. He's played 25 straight games at a safety. And at 6 foot 195, he's really quick to read. He drives really well on the ball. He makes these plays where you're thinking like, oh, he's not going to get there. And then all of a sudden, bam, he's right on top of it. Because overall, man, he plays really fast. He's physical. He's decisive. He has occasionally, there's some missed tackles that you'll see with him. He doesn't have a lot of ball production, but man, he is one of those guys that triggers quick. He's a solidly built player. He's got the good speed. He's got agility. He's got lateral quickness. He can cover a lot of ground. The missed tackle part of it, though, is something he's probably going to have to overcome. So, I mean, you'll see him try and punch the ball out. He's one of those guys. He's always trying to create a turnover. I just don't think he has the great speed, and I'm not sure how much you really want to put him in coverage, but the quickness, the downhill, the toughness, all those things that you'll like about the game. I love the way he sees the game, but he'll need to work on some of the coverage aspect parts of it, though, if he gets matched up that way.
Terrific report, Brian.
Thank you.
On the Undrafted Free Agents, Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here on The Fan. You will not believe what has transpired in the Champions League. Rafinha scored again to put Barcelona up 3-2, but Inter Milan equalized, and they are now in the dying embers of the game and about to go to extra time. But that tally from Rafinha gives him 21 goal contributions in the single Champions League season, tying him with Ronaldo. That's what kind of excellence we're witnessing here.
I thought they had the winner there. So yeah, late goal, huh?
Yeah, Barcelona Twitter was in full pandemonium. Yeah. And then in the 93rd minute, Inter equalizes, so we're getting extra soccer. Chief, what are we doing next?
Around the bases, we've got some nasty baseball injuries to address as we prep our bodies for an Evalde next in the nation.